understand and to know about the glory of God. We'll begin at Exodus chapter 33, verse 13 to 18. So we'll begin at that portion of the scripture. Exodus 33, 13 to 18. So, let's go. Now, therefore, I pray thee, this is Moses speaking, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider also that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, then do not bring us up from here. But how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. That's a very popular passage of the Bible and the very popular theme of music also. So we talked quite a lot, and no matter how we continue to speak, we will not be able to exhaust it or exhaustively speak about it. We've spoken a great deal about the glory of God. We have said that the glory of God is a manifestation of God Himself. We have also said to us that the glory of God, in terms of that manifestation, is what is revealed. Because by default, the glory of God is not lying just there for anybody to go and pick it up. The glory of God is the revelation of God that is not just a common stance happening, or what somebody finds just anyhow, unless it pleases him to reveal to you. This already is clearly highlighted by the prophet Moses. And at this point in time, Moses had seen God's revelation. But you can already see him still asking God, please show me. The verb show there is an indicator that it's not something Moses can discover on his own. And it's not something that is just there for anybody to go and see. He had to beseech and say, please show your glory to me. Let me see your glory. So, the glory of God is that dimension of God that is concealed, but of course is to be revealed, because the idea of God is for His glory to be revealed to all creation. The Bible says that the earnest expectation of creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. It is because the sons of God, when manifested, will reveal the glory of their Father. So there is that expectation in creation. Praise the Lord. So that encounter of Moses with God already should point out to you the weight of the seriousness of the issue at hand. When you talk about the glory of God, it is the revelation of the depths of God, hidden. The revelation of the depths of God, hidden. There is the manifestation of God that is obvious before everyone. Paul taught us and said in the book of Romans chapter 1 from verse 25, 6, 7 downwards. He said, what should be seen of God is already made manifest, or is being made manifest by the things that he had created, even his eternal power and Godhead. So Paul was teaching that there is a signature of the power of God and the mystery of his grace and of his glory already attached to the created things that man can see. Rightly so, the book of Psalm 19 verse 1 declares that this the heavens, they dabar the glory of God. That is, they speak of it, they declare it like a speech. So the psalmist claims by his revelation, and of course it's true, it's not just a claim, it's what is true. But the psalmist declares and reveals that even the very structure of heaven reveals the glory of God. And that is just one thing. But now, not even just the structure of heaven, but even the creation of man also reveals the glory of God. The same Psalms in the eighth chapter, he said, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He went further to say, then he begins to wonder, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, you have made him a little lower than Elohim, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Further on, God speaking in the prophet Isaiah, he said, these people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise, they shall show forth my glory. If you consider that already, there is the signature of God's glory in man, which makes every thoughtful individual wonder at God. That generality is the glory of God that is there. But scripture still makes it known and explicitly declares it that there is still such a thing as the glory of God that has to be unveiled for it to be seen. Because of course Moses lived in the time where they could see the heavens and everything that was being said, but he was still asking for something to be shown to him. That is the revelation of God himself. Do you understand? And the prophet said that even God himself declared that, truly as I live, Numbers chapter 14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So it's an indicator that if the earth shall be filled with the knowledge, then the earth is not yet filled with the knowledge. That means there is still a knowledge that is still lacking. There is still a knowledge that is to be attained to and broadcasted for the earth to come to cognizance of it. That knowledge will be attained by the revealing of this glory that is not yet seen. Paul the Apostle speaking, he said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed." Revelation is the opposite of concealing. So if he is saying that the glory that is to be revealed, that is made known, made bare, uncovered, then you can already tell what was the initial state of the glory, or of that glory he spoke of. If somebody says to you, the water will be hot, it already passes a message by implication that the current temperature of the water is anything but near hot. John, speaking in his gospel, he said that, "And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld him." Full of grace and truth. "We beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, if you go further down to read, then you hear him begin to speak and say that no man at any time seen God, but his only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, him had he revealed. Look at what he said. I want to pull out a particular portion of it out for us. Father, we give you praise. Thank you. Now listen, look at this. I was beginning to say this. He said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, as of the glory as of the only begotten." That's the portion I wanted to include, but I somehow skipped that while I was speaking. I'm speaking from that scripture, so I had to go and fetch it out. So this Word was concealed. He said, but when that Word was made flesh, that was the revelation. And this is what he was trying to say. See, we beheld his glory at the point where the Word was yet to be made flesh. The glory couldn't be seen or couldn't be beheld. But he said, by that conversion, or by the making of the Word into flesh, we were able to behold the glory of the Son and of the Father through the Son. And where I was talking about, where I continue to speak of, is from verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." That word "declared" is as though somebody spoke something that you didn't know. The Greek word for "declared," as used in that portion of the scripture, that is in John chapter 1 verse 18, is the word exagomeahi. It means to unfold a teaching, or when you unfold something. You know, like when somebody writes something in a paper and he folds it and gives you like a letter. Then you unfold it. When you unfold it, then you see the content. The content is hidden because of the fold because of the fold, the content is hidden. And even if somebody holds the paper and flings it here and there, and waves it here and there, nobody can see it because the content is covered by that fold. But at unfolding it, then you're able to see the content. That's what that word there tries to describe. Exagimain. Praise the Lord. Now, I've taken time to show us all these scriptures so that we can understand just at least one, two things. So I don't know how many scriptures we have just spoken out of, but I know we have spoken from major scriptures in the both the Old and the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Now, but I believe that in some of our previous teachings, we have talked about the glory of God. So tonight we don't want to just use all of tonight alone to talk about this, but we have thought about the glory of God in one of these teachings we had titled "A Light to the Gentiles," I believe. Light to the Gentiles. Thank you, Father. The light and the glory. In that meeting, a light to the Gentiles, the particular message called "The Light and the Glory." We spoke quite extensively, or we spoke to in significant depth about the glory. Praise the Lord. So, our objective in this atmosphere of the glory is how to position to receive the revelation of the glory. That's one of the objectives we have. And so tonight, for having understood the glory, you can download that message, "The Light and the Glory," or you can get it on the YouTube platform, or you can download it directly from the channel on Telegram, "The Light and the Glory." So, having seen this, the glory of God, the revelation of His person, though there are still many mysteries to that, as God gives us time again, we will try to speak even more in that direction. But tonight we are speaking as though we have talked about the glory itself more before, and then from there we are now proceeding to where we currently our current objective. Praise the Lord. So tonight, in this atmosphere of the glory, I want to show us how the glory can be revealed to you, because we have talked about the glory, and of course we have spoken just a lot even within the short moment of time, brief moment of time, how you can position to receive that revelation of the glory. I took us all through the time from the books of the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to show you that this dimension of glory we are talking about, it has to be revealed. And mind you, we showed you also the dimensions that you can interact with and still give praise to God. Like the psalmist wonders at creation. But I showed you significantly how that in the same vein, men still seek for something deeper to be revealed to them. Moses saying, show me your glory. And Paul saying that there is a glory that is to be revealed. Even John the Apostle declared that it was when the Word was made flesh and revealed to us that we began to see the glory of the Father. Let me show you something else. In John chapter 2, after Jesus had turned the water to wine, the Bible said concerning him, he said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus of Nazareth in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Did you see that? The Hebrew, the Greek word directly for manifested is phanero. It means to make something visible. It's as though you are in a room and the whole place was dark, and then the light came on and you saw your furniture, your desk, your books, and everything lying all over the place. But at the initial time where you were in a dark place, you could see nothing. That is the indication of an error, or that's what it implies. To make something actual, visible, or manifest. Something that was hidden. So this beginning of miracles did Jesus Christ of Nazareth in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed in him. So there was a point in time where they were rubbing shoulders with him, but yet he had not begun to manifest something to them. And that is why I'm going to stop here and say that there are many people here, the glory of God will soon start manifesting through you. Because like we said, the glory is something that is hidden. It can also be hidden inside you. You may be aware, but your environment, your family, your generation is not yet aware of what is within them until such a time that it comes into a season of manifestation and revelation. The glory of God will be revealed in you. Short mark it from now, and your world will be taken by surprise. You'll be taken aback. They will pause to wonder. They will pause to wonder. They will pause to wonder. All right. So, we are looking at how to position to receive this revelation. So tonight, we are going to see this in the portion of time that we have left. We are going to be looking at the presence of God. My God. His presence. The presence of God. Mahala Brakatakasu Brakatakasuka. The presence of God. Psalm 29, verse 9. Let's begin from there. Psalm 29, verse 9. All right. Glory to God. Psalm 29, verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. In his temple, everyone says glory. You know why they say glory? they are calling, is what they are seeing, they are calling out. It's not like an arena where one individual, all the people collectively are calling, crying out glory. Why? The vision before them in the presence has taken a great hold on them. They have to declare what they see. It's more like the operation of the spirit of faith that causes you to declare what you have seen. Like Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, so we speak, right? So what you see, you speak. But they have come into that place where there is the overwhelming, as if the vision is just put before your face, and it takes such significant hold of you that you have to declare and proclaim what you see. So in the temple of God, everyone there is animated to begin to declare glory. The seraphim, they are also under this influence. When Isaiah saw the vision of God, he said, he saw the throne of God and his train filling the temple, and then he saw the seraphims and their wings covering their face, their feet, and they're flying with the other. And he said, they continually cry, "Holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." They have to continually declare something. So these people come into the temple and they have to say glory. Why? That is what they come at. That is what hits them when they enter the place. Mind you, this is a psalm that came by revelation, because a man is penning down a psalm on earth and is declaring that there in the temple of God, everyone sings glory. When you bring a man into the presence of God, he doesn't have to learn worship again. Even if he doesn't know the culture of worship, something inside his being will give praise to God. And what we mean by that is, there is such an overwhelming revelation of God in a place that it is impossible to resist. But where is this glory called forth from? The psalmist said, in his temple. Now, what is a temple? We dealt with that in the last time we had, where we looked at the life that will host God's glory. And please, if you don't have that, if you have not listened to that, go and get it. I believe the video message is in production, but it will be ready. But the first day is already available, which is bedded in the glory. Bedded in the glory. What is a temple? A temple is simply where a deity resides. Paul had already taught us that clearly when he said that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple because the Holy Spirit lives there, not because your own spirit occupies it. Hence, it's just a body. Wherever a deity lives, a God lives. That's what is a temple. And temple itself is not exclusive to Christianity. There are a lot of temples around. If you travel around the world, Asia, Europe, in Greece of Athens, Middle East, you will see a lot of temples. The idea is that this is the residence of a God. So, A temple is where a deity resides. In God's temple, in His temple, pay attention to that word, everybody cries out glory. His temple is where He lives. And where He lives, His presence is there. Because presence is simply an extrapolation of somebody's present. Does that make any sense? Back then in school, they are taking a roll call to mark the records. James, this present, sir. Matthew, present, sir. Philip, present, sir. What is he saying? I'm here. My present is here. So, that word present you usually see, when it is extrapolated, it gives you presence. That is your being exists within this dimension, within this environment. So you are actually alive, present, or intact. You can be located in this environment. Like, I'm here where I am now. I'm present here. But I'm not present elsewhere anymore. You can look around there. You won't find me. I'm not there. I'm here. Because I'm not there, certain possibilities don't exist. You can't talk to me and I will answer you. You can't interact with me. You can't sense the influence of my being around. When somebody is around you, if they have a body spray on, you will perceive it. If there is light, you will see their shadow. Apart from that, your sense, your perception, and your awareness of environment as a sensitive being will still instruct you that there is something around you, which in this case is an individual. It's as though you are standing and you are facing one direction, and somebody tiptoes and stands behind you. If you are not lost in your own thoughts, but you are aware of your surroundings, you can tell somebody is behind you. One of the ways you know is that there is a change in your perception of the direction of wind. Why? Because somehow you were conscious that there was something where you could feel wind in one direction at the back of your head or wherever, your shoulder. When the person stands behind you, you sense a change of environment. And then with all other perception, then you know somebody has just arrived behind me. But further on, like I was just saying, where I'm not, there are certain possibilities that don't exist there. You can't call my name and I will answer. Not there. You can't interact with me. You can't interact with my person or with my presence. What do I mean by you can't interact with my presence? If I'm in you in a place, I occupy the space. You can't pass through me. You have to acknowledge I'm here. If I stand, when you are walking, you move a little bit to give me room. That's you interacting with my presence. When my hand is on the desk, you can't move it. When I sit on a couch, you can't come and sit on the same couch because I've occupied it. I'm not talking to you.
But only my presence has conditioned your attitude. It has conditioned your conduct. It has conditioned your operation even within your environment. That is presence. And I may not be talking to you, but nevertheless, you can't ignore the fact that I'm present. But where I'm not, you can move everything all over the place. You have no restrictions. What that say means is this. Where I'm not, certain possibilities don't exist. In the same vein, where God is not, there is no interaction with Him, even though He doesn't speak. Like I said, even if I'm not talking to you, as long as I am where you are, my presence conditions how you operate. You can't walk through me. When you walk and I'm standing, you have to divert. My presence alone conditions your conduct. Now, the presence of God is where He is. Like you will say, presence, I am here. Where that presence is, there is where the glory is revealed. And like I have earlier illustrated, that you can't claim ignorance of my presence because I'm sitting, I'm standing, you can't walk through me. That is humanly speaking. In God's own design, instead of walking and having those experiences, it is the glory that you will be encountering. That is why in the presence of God, everyone there, they will cry, glory. Do we understand? So, in the presence of God, that is where the glory is revealed. Father, we give you praise. 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 My God. Now, we have said it several times that your destiny is glory. We said it in Bettered in the Glory. Now God has said that your identity is the glory. See, these people are people that are from the glory. You must learn these things. You can't escape it. Hence, you won't be relevant. Say it again. You must learn these things. You can't escape it. Hence, you won't be relevant. You won't be relevant. You can't escape this. Hence, you won't be relevant. If the glory must be revealed to you, then this is where you have it. It starts. That is the first scripture. Now let's return to Exodus. I want to show you the dialogue or the discourse between Moses and God and its progression. Now look at what Moses said. See where the Moses' encounter with glory started. It started from verse 11. Now if you are even paying attention, you realize that the last meeting we had, it was at verse 11 we stopped. And it's not like we are coordinated, like we say, okay, we stopped here, let's start here. No. It's that to share you, the Holy Spirit is coordinating a teaching. The Holy Spirit is speaking and continuing from it. It's not us doing it. As a matter of fact, we didn't realize when the month ran out. I was speaking with one of the leaders here and I said, the month is almost ending. It's ending this week. We have not had, because of what some of the things we are doing just having so much that we didn't realize we had entered the end of the month. And I said, all right, let's go and let's go back and trust God to see what he will say and how it will unfold. And then this came. And what I'm teaching you now is not like,
yeah, you know,
it's what should be said present now that I'm telling you. And see how it's clean along with what we had said about a month ago. Now listen, we are starting from verse 11 where we stopped last month. We are reading down now as though the teaching continued. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. See where Moses' encounter started. It started with face to face. You can't see me face to face if you are not where I am. It's not possible. Even with all the intervention of technology, it's not face to face. It's face to screen we are still doing if you do a video chat. Because you can't poke the person's face. You can only tap your screen. Or face to pixel. Because that's what is on your screen. He said, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. My God, that's finished. We can even close it there. And he will return to the camp. Now, verse 12 says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by your name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And listen to what God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. If you read further on, God said that we pass before you. All these things happen before God. This glory revelation, they happen inside God's presence. Because it's God you are looking for. It's God that you want to be shown to you. Show me you. In the presence. In the presence. We trust God for him to organize it in another encounter. But in the presence, let's open up your mind and your spirit to it and clear it for that invasion of insight and wisdom and revelation of the Spirit into your heart. In the presence. And this is what was revealed to us clearly. Every man who walks in God's glory, you will know them, they are presence people. There's something about them that is common, is that they are presence people. And this was pointed out to us at about the time when all of this was in preparation.
They are presence people. People that carry God's presence. Through scriptures, look at a man like Moses. Unbelievable depths of glory. He literally operated in realms of celestial authority and terrestrial authority. He spoke to elements of creation and they brought forth their potential. He parted the Red Sea by God's grace, work operating in him. He spoke to the rock and smoothed it, and water came out from it. He commanded by the operation of God, by the mystery of God's works. And things were happening in nature. Living creatures were directed at the speech as to where to congregate and as to where to dissipate from. He treated water without chemical means. Wisdom. But this is a man centered on God's presence. We saw that last month. When we saw that he took his tent and dedicated it to be God's house. When God wouldn't tabernacle with the Israelites because of the sins, he took his own tent. And we already saw the mysteries of those tents, like we saw last time. He took his own tent and planted it far. And consecrated it to be where, to be the tabernacle. He renamed his tent and said, "This from today you are declared to be the tent of meeting." It's not meeting where men meet. No, they won't come near. In short, when he's going, the Bible says they stay at the front of their tent and they worship from afar. His tent of meeting with God. Let me ask, is your spirit man a place where you meet with God? Because Moses' tent was tent of meeting, encounter. That's why you see the cloud will descend on it and then he will speak as a man spoke to his friend face to face. It's a date with God. It's an appointment. That is why it's called tabernacle of meeting. And that was his tent. And we said last time that that tent is a signification of himself, as your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we showed you through scriptures how the apostles used the same word, tent, tent, tent. Do you meet with God inside your spirit? Of course it is there, but do you interact to that depth? Or does God meet with you as a man? Everyone that demonstrates this depth of glory, they are people that presence is with them. They have explored it. And like we said, we have continually said, we advocate it, that the presence of God is meant to be your everyday life. Because you live with him. Like I said again, if I live with you in one house, there is a law of cognizance that you can avoid my communication, but you can't ignore my presence by virtue of the fact that I am present. You can't walk through me. You can't. If I'm on a desk or sitting on a chair, you can't come and sit as though nobody's there. Even if you claim not to acknowledge me mentally, when you sit on the chair, your body won't be touching the chair. It's me you are sitting on. No matter how you deceive yourself, inside that deception, there's the truth that actually is this guy I'm sitting in the presence of God. One of the Let's go ahead, let's pray. Let's try to round up. It's really personal. God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 25. Let's round up with this word. God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 25. He said, he will take offerings from the people. And then in verse 8, he said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The idea of God's sanctuary, the reason why they had to build the tabernacle, was because God wanted to dwell in their midst. It's not, now listen to this, and it's very important. They didn't build the tabernacle because God wanted sacrifice. Sacrifice is the arrangement that will sustain the act, that will sustain the purpose of the sanctuary. The critical reason for building the tabernacle was because God wanted to dwell in their midst. And this is his manifesto. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It's not so that Aaron can be a priest. I want to give him a job. No. So that you can be killing rams. The killing of rams is so that that arrangement can continue. Praise the Lord. The slaughtering of rams, the showbread, is so that that arrangement can continue. The original intention can still continue. The main point is so that he could dwell among them. And to dwell among them, there had to be a structure to host him. Now, see what begins to happen with this structure. As we rush very quickly to chapter 40, after it was built. 40 verse 2 says, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Do you see what just happened here? You didn't see it. Let me tell you what just happened. God called what they had just built the tent of meeting. Is that not what Moses called his own tent? My God. That is, before God's house had been built, Moses had given his own house as God's house. And called it the tent of meeting. So he was already foreshadowing what would come. His own tent he had renamed to be the tent of meeting. In verse 17, then the Bible says, and it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. What happened when it was raised up? We see it in verse 33. He said, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle, and they hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then what happened? The cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord, my God, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That place where he lived, the glory of the Lord filled it. When the presence is in your life, if the glory of the Lord will fill your life. The place where God dwells is where the glory fills. The place where God lives is where the glory is abundant. The place where he dwells is full of glory. As he raised up the tabernacle, God's house, that I may dwell amongst them, where he is to dwell, the scripture says that then the glory filled the tabernacle. Listen to what happened. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's the second time. Whenever the cloud was taken off from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. But the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Where he lived, there the glory filled. In his presence is the glory. What does that mean? For the necessity is, you must see God's glory. Let me tell you, all those of you who want to future in this generation, you must see the glory. Hence, you are not inside yet. That's just it. So either you see the glory of God or you see it. Hence, you won't feature. It's not escapable. You know, there can be, this book can be seen. It's a lie. You have to see it. You will see God's glory. Every one of us will have to see the glory of God. I'm not talking about, you know, okay, the cloud must open. It will happen. But we must, in the experience and the revelation, the understanding, the walking in of God's glory, it must be a reality in your life. Because that is the ordination, the design of the generation. They are a people of the glory. And that's why God brought us that word, bathed in the glory. They are born, they are of the glory. They are from the glory. But you can't have access to this glory, as we have just said, it's a requirement, unless it is revealed to you. How then will I be in position to receive the revelation of God's glory? And God has just said through his word, it is in his presence. God, in his temple, does everyone speak of his glory. That's the way the King James speaks, puts it. He says, everyone speaks of his glory in his temple. That is, it's like it's the gossip there, not that negative one. Like, you know, when you come to a place where something, you come to a place where something happened, or happened, or in school, you just enter the class and you go, What happened? You say, these two persons just had it's the talk of the school. Say, what's up? Say, have you heard the latest? In the temple of God, the latest is the glory. Say, have you seen this? Is it God has shown that? Have you seen this? Everyone speaks of his glory. Why? The glory is consecrated there. Is full to the brim there. He didn't say, the Bible there speaks twice. He said, and the glory filled. He didn't give space. When it fills a place, you know, when you walk into a room where there's so much strong cologne or perfume or something, you can't avoid it. Whether you talk about it or not, but you can't deny that there's some presence here. There's some fragrance going on around here. In that place, in that temple, the glory fills it. You have to speak of the glory when you enter. The same way you enter a room, you have to think, who is that? Who has this perfume? And even if you don't talk about it, mentally, you'll become aware of it. One way or the other, you must talk about it. Either in your thoughts or in words. The same way in the temple, everyone speaks of his glory. You want the revelation of God's glory. Presence. And everyone, this is a word that is on you, like a duty, a responsibility, a demand. You know, when you go to a place and they speak a word on bitterness, you say, well, thank God for his grace. This word doesn't concern me. Don't have anybody I beat against. This one concerns everybody. You can't escape this one because it speaks of your generation. And if you say, I have presence, there are depths in the presence you are yet to see. It's a necessary requirement. And you must seek the presence and the manifestation of his presence. Then you will see God's glory. As I round up, I read to us a mystery. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, Ezekiel saw a vision, and by the end of that vision, here's what he said in chapter 1, verse 28. And he said, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the brightness of the appearance all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face. I heard the voice of one speaking. This he was before God, and he saw God's person. That's why he was telling you that this latter part, he was describing the throne, the person he saw sat. If you read earlier verses 28 and verse 26, you see he describes what the person looked like. See, the appearance from his waist upwards was like amber, and from the waist downward was like fire. When he finished all that, then he said, this thing I'm seeing now in this, the presence of the Lord, this is the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I saw it. The glory is something you can see. You see it in his presence. Every revelation of God's glory takes place in the manifestation and revelation of his presence. In his presence, it's a mandation upon you. You have to see God's glory. For the glory of God to be revealed in you, revealed to you. Its presence. Praise the Lord. I believe that this word has brought light to someone. Let's go ahead. Let's give God the praise and thank him. Let's worship him because he is God. And there's none like him. To you be all the praise. Can you say, Father, thank you for your word and your insight? Blessed be your name. Thank you, mighty God. Blessed be your holy name. From the right pray, ask, O Lord, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened to see your word, to see your presence. Let your person be made more real. It's an expansion. Sometimes the reality of walking in God's presence is just a little bit of the expansion of your consciousness. And there are many here that what you need is just an expansion of your consciousness so that you can be more aware of God. God is aware of you, but some persons have not yet attained to that place where they are so aware of God. And so what the miracle that Christ will do inside of you and the Holy Spirit will do inside of you is to assist to expand your consciousness so that you can detect God easily and be filled with the fullness of God. Can you say, Lord, I make demands for conscious awareness. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Just pray. Thank you, mighty. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.